Let's see.
Right next to you.
Oh, a little bit over. Okay. I'd like to welcome everyone who's joining us. Once again, if you look in the chat, there is a link to the source sheets for tonight's shear. I'll post it a few times. I think if people come in a little bit late, they might not see the chats that already happened. So I'll post it a few times over the next few minutes for latecomers. I will hand it over to Rev Neuberger for a formal introduction. I'd like to thank everyone for joining us, and thank, of course, Rev Schachter for once again honoring us with his presence and his Torah.
I feel I was just mekadesh my printer because I was zocha to publish a Rabbi Schachter source book for the first time. And so I thank you for that opportunity. I want to thank the many sponsors of this evening's Tikkun Leil HaShana Rabbah. That's Yaakov and Robin Geffner, who sponsored the evening in memory of Robin's father, Ephraim Laban Yitzchak, whose Yorsin is this evening HaShana Rabbah. We thank Sam and Leah Levy, who sponsor the learning of the Nishmas HaChover Befol Ben HaChover Yudah Levy, Zechrono Livracha. We thank David and Margie Sachs, who sponsored the Shir in memory of David's grandmother, Gladys Neusetter. And we thank Mr. and Mrs. Borg, who dedicate the evening in memory of Leah Bas Shloma Zeva Cohen. One of the jewels in the crown of Beth Abraham is to be able to hear, to host and to hear a shir of Rabbi Schachter on Leil HaShana Rabbah. And it is to the great credit of Rabbi Schachter's scholarship and the delivery and the insightfulness that COVID was not able to diminish our excitement for this year. And I'm very grateful to Rabbi Schachter for agreeing to present this year over Zoom and bring it to all of us in our homes and in our sukkos. Rabbi Schachter is known to all of us as the man of great scholarship, as a Talmud Chacham, as a person who was given Klal Yisrael the legacy of Rav Yaakov Emden, of the Moruch Tzia, and who has given us the insight to so many parshios, whether they're parshios in history, whether they're parshios in halacha, parshios in Torah. What many of you are not fully aware of is the role that Rabbi Schachter plays in the lives of so many of our musmachim and in their communities, with the ongoing training and with the ever availability to be a listening ear and to provide wise counsel and a warmth and a passion for teaching Torah and for guiding Klal Yisrael that it nurtures so many of the Rabbanim, really so many, many of the Rabbanim in the field, from Rabbanim who have just begun, just beginning their career, to Rabbanim who are far more seasoned and far more experienced. Hardly a year goes by that I'm not able to reflect at this point of time, and one of the many life lessons that I was able to watch or see from our guest this evening. And when I think of our Rabbi J.J. Schachter, I think it lends new meaning to the phrase of a gentleman and a scholar, because the life and the connection that Rabbi Schachter has to so many of us gives it the concept much greater meaning. we know what a scholar is. And we know what a gentleman is. But when one sees the great concern that a Schachter has for every individual, the great Kovod Avrios, that can only come from a person who is steeped in Yerushalayim and a person who's steeped in Torah learning to the fashion that Rabbi Schachter is. It was just a short time ago that Rabbi Schachter called up my wife because they had a brief meeting, and it goes back many, many months. But something that triggered a thought in Rabbi Schachter's mind, and he was obviously to be giving it a lot of thought, because then when El rolled around, he wanted to take the opportunity to recall that conversation and be mechazek my wife. And that's just an extraordinary moment of concern, of forethought, of thinking, of a level of scholarship and gentility which is a rare find. And therefore, it's a great kovod for us to learn once again from the Torah of Rabbi Schachter, and I'm very grateful to you for giving us this evening.
Thank you very much. Good evening. Good evening. A guten Moed to all of you. A guten Erev Yom Tov to all of you. I want to thank Rabbi Neuberger for very special introduction. I'm very grateful to you, and grateful to you for your leadership. I want to thank Rabbi Ross very much for inviting me to come back. It's one thing to be invited once. It's another thing to be invited five times. It's another thing to be invited 10 times. So it means a lot to me, and I'm very grateful, and I appreciate it very much. Thank you, Rabbi Ross, and whoever else is part of the Chabura responsible for this invitation. And I also want to thank all those who sponsored the shiur tonight. I'm thinking about our relationship with one another. I'm thinking about our obligations to one another. I'm thinking about the achrayas that we have for one another, to care about one another, to be responsible for one another, to stand up for one another. And I would like to analyze this sugya on a number of different levels. I want to Kiyad Hashem Hatova Aleichem, to work through a shtikel machlekes between the Dogel Merivava and the Rebbe Akiva Eiger. I want to work through a little sugya in Lumdis. And I, in addition, want to perhaps be a little bit lighter in terms of the source material and take a look at some Gemaras and some Midrashim that I think speak very directly to the nature of the relationship of the obligation that we have to one another. So, as you know, I come with my sheets. This year they're not printed. This year they're on the chat. Those of you who just joined, please click on the chat, courtesy of Rabbi Ross. Please make sure that you have access to the sheets so we'll be able to continue and be able to learn together. I want to begin with the Gemara in Sanhedrin on Daf Chaf Zayin Amud Beis. I hope to be able to explain everything as clearly as possible. I want no one to feel like they're being left behind, and we'll make every effort to be as transparent in my analysis as I possibly can. The Gemara here is talking about the notion that a Korov cannot be an aid. This is in the Masechet of Sanhedrin. The Masechta talks about Eidos and talks about Dayanim. And the Sugi here in the Gemara has posited that if someone is a relative, then they are disqualified from serving as a witness on behalf of a relative of theirs, and they are disqualified of serving as a judge in such a case. So the Gemara says, Minani Mili. We're starting right where the Gemara is, like in the middle of the first segment on the first page. Minani Mili, how do you know that a Karov is not allowed to either be an aid, Lahaid Oladun, to be a witness or to be a judge? The Tana Rabbana Layumsu Avasalban. Pasuk says that fathers should not be put to death because of their sons. Lo yumsu avos albanim. Matamad lomar, what do we mean by this, that a father doesn't have to pay for what their son's children do? Im lelamit shelo yumsu avos ba'avon banim, ubanim ba'avon avos, if it's that they're not responsible, neither of them needs to pay for the sin of the other. Lo yumsu avos al avera shel banim, velo yumsu banim al averos shel avos. No, it can't mean that. Arei kvar nemar ish bechet o yomus. Every yomusu, each person yumsu, each person dies is responsible for their own sin. So what does this pasuk mean? Ella must be lo yumsu avos al banim. Be'edus banim, ubanim lo yumsu al avos be'edus avos, which means that you can't be a witness against a father, against a son, against a son, against a father, which might result in some kind of a punishment that will be meted out if, in fact, all the requisite analysis is done on the part of the court, or you can't be a judge to effect some kind of a judgment, lo yumsu avos al banim. You're trying to tell me that children are not responsible for the sins of their parents? It's in the Farish of Pasuk that God visits the sins of the parents on the children. So we see that children are responsible for the sins of their parents. They act the same way that their parents do, so they themselves are liable. And the way Rashi explains here in the last line of Rashi, v'nifroen mehen avono sehen, ve avona vosehen. If they act in the same way, if the language is ochsen, they hold on to the action, the activity, the behavior of their parents, so they are dually liable. They're liable for their own behavior, and they pick up also the behavior of their parents. Then the Gemara continues. Let's go three lines from the bottom. The Gemara says, are you trying to tell me that one person is not punished for the sin of another? The Gemara assumes that is a simple fact. The only time a person is responsible for the sin of the other is in the case of a child who follows in the evil footstep of a parent. But in the normal circumstances, nobody is responsible for somebody else's sin. Correct, Gemara? No. What do you mean? No, nobody's ever responsible for somebody else's sin. For Haksev, the pasuk says, "V'choshlu ish ba'achiv," that a person will stumble as a result of his brother. What does it mean? Stumble ish ba'avon achiv, that I will stumble. I will be liable for the sin of my brother, of another Jew. Melame chakol yisrael areivin ze baze, that I'm responsible for another Jew. So I do get punished. I do stumble when somebody else sins. What are you telling me? You just assumed that that's not the case, that I am actually responsible. And for the Gemara, hasam shahaya ba biyadam limchos velo michu. When is that the case, that in fact I am responsible? That applies in a case where I could rebuke them. I could try to stop them, or I could even tell them that they did something wrong. I can assert myself. When I assert myself, and I'm in a position to assert myself, and I'm able to assert myself, and we have to understand that that means very properly and appropriately. Already the Gemara in Maseches Erechin questions the whole notion of tochacha, but assuming that this is done in an appropriate fashion, and I could do it, and I don't do it, then I am responsible. I am responsible. I assume the punishment and the responsibility for the sin of another Jew. But otherwise, if I'm not in a position to make a macha, I'm not in a position to be moche, then what they do is not, I'm not liable, I'm not responsible for this. Ad kan de Gemara in Masaches Sanhedrin, Chav Zayin Amid Beis. Here's where we have this principle laid out explicitly in the Talmudic text. Now the word arevim, means a cosigner. An arev is a technical term. If I want to borrow money because I don't have enough money to buy a house, so I go to the bank, why would the bank lend me money? I have no assets. So my friend comes and signs for me, and the bank knows that if I can't pay, then they're going to go after my friend. If I can't pay, then they're going to be responsible. So this is a juridical, technical principle that Jews are responsible for one another. We're responsible for the religious behavior of one another, and we are actually punished for the non-religious behavior of another, as long as we could actually try to do something about it. If we can do something about it and we don't, then we are responsible. It's a similar Gemara, Masechet Shavuos, on Daf Lamed Tes Amid Aleph and Daf Lamed Tes Amid Beis. I don't need to go through the particular sugi here in the Gemara, but I just want to show you the same principle. The last line of the second entry of Lamed Tes Amid Aleph on page one, V'chashlu ish ba'achiv, ish ba'avon achiv. So we see that a Jew is punished for the sin of another Jew. Zet mendach, we see melamit shekol Yisrael areven ze bazeh. And for the Gemara, hasam, now on Lamed Tes Amid Beis, hasam sheyesh biyadam limchos v'lo mich. So we have the exact same Gemara in two places, in Sanhedrin and in Shavuos, establishing this principle that we are responsible for one another. And the principle here is a very technical, legal one in terms of our responsibility expressing itself through our obligation to be moche. If we can be moche and we're not, then we assume the punishment of the person who did the wrong act. This is also based on another Gemara in Sanhedrin and also a Gemara in Masachet Sota, which I don't want to work through with you this evening, but it's summarized by Rashi on the top of page two on the Pasuk in Parshas Nitzavim, Anistaros LaHashem Elokeinu, things that are hidden. That's God's business. That's known to God. V'haniglos, but things that are revealed, Lanu ulavanenu ad olam, they revealed to us in perpetuity. La asos es kol divrei haTorah hazos. So Rashi in his commentary, working off a Gemara in Sanhedrin and a Gemara in Masechet Sota, points out that aval haniglos. Look four full lines from the bottom. The line beginning yachid, aval haniglos, things that are manifestly obvious that we could identify, lanu ulavanenu livaer hara mikirbenu, that we have to uproot evil from our midst, v'im lo nase din bohem ya'anshu harabit, and if we don't do the right thing by them, then everyone gets punished. And he continues the last line, v'nasu arevim ze lo ze. Rashi here incorporates the Talmudic idiom that we are ravim, and if it's niglos, if it's known, and knowing the Gemara that we saw on page one, we could do something about it, and we don't, then we are culpable and we are responsible. So clearly, and this is a very important principle to establish at the outset, that the notion of kol Yisrael ravim ze baze is first and primarily anchored in rabbinic literature in I am responsible for you, I will get punished if I could have done something about your egregious behavior and I didn't. I want to spend a little bit on a macha, on the notion of making a statement that when evil is perpetrated, that it's important to say something. Look at the Rambam, and this is one of the most striking Rambam's in the Sefer HaMitzvos on the right-hand side of page two that I would say that I've ever seen, because it rings so true in the 21st century. It's as if the Rambam, who's living in the 12th century, is echoing, not just it seems, the Rambam is clearly echoing a sentiment that is pervasive in 20th century America, and maybe not only America. Listen to this Rambam. This is Sefer HaMitzvos, Mitzvah Reishei. Hatzivui shenitztavinu limchos ba'osei avera. This is the pasuk of Hocheach Tochiach esamisecha, that we have an obligation to rebuke one another. And we've seen how that's anchored deeply in the principle of arvos and the principle of responsibility. So we have an obligation to make a macha'a, either ba'ose avera, somebody who has done a sin, who has already perpetrated a sin, o b'misher rotza la'asosa, or if you know that they're about to, head them off and let them know that what they're about to do is wrong. In other words, tochacha is not just to stop them from doing, but tochacha is to let them know, even after they did it, that what they did was wrong. Ula hazhiro al kachen, to warn them bidvarim, to speak to them. Ula hochicho, and to rebuke them. Now listen to this Rambam. Take out a red pen and underline this Rambam. Va'al yomar ada. And a person should not say, like you and I hear, and maybe even say, in the year 2020, in the United States of America, Va'al yomar adam, ani lo echta. You know what, I'm okay. I'm not going to sin. V'im yechta zulasi, and if the other guy is going to sin, ze inyon noim Hashem. That's his business. That's his problem. I got enough trouble keeping my own nose clean. I'm okay. I'm focusing on myself. He wants to sin, let him sin. Was gate me run? What, it's my ich dafsachan mission by his behavior? Let him do what he wants. It's a free country. It's a democracy. You do what you want. Consenting adults can do what you want. Well, it doesn't matter. They'll have to answer someday. I don't have to mishsuch. I don't have to get involved. I have to worry about myself. I got that. I'm responsible for myself. Ani lo echta. I'm okay. V'im yechta zulasi, if Yena wants to sin, ze inyonoim Hashem, says the Rambam, al yomar adam. Ze, listen to this language. It's unbelievable. Ze neged haTorah. I don't think you could find a sharper formulation than this. You think, you know what, it's an open society, verse, you know, he's not hurting me, he's not hurting anybody, let him do what he wants. Ze neged haTorah. Ela anu mitzuvim. We are obligated, number one, shelo lavar. We are obligated for us not to sin. And in addition, we have another obligation, velo naniach lezula senu me'uma senu la. We have to make sure that somebody else doesn't sin. And if they sin, we have to call them out. We have to be mochiach them. Because the Rambam says at the beginning, remember, shenitztavino limchos ba'osei avera, they've already done it. Second, if you want to do it. So you want to tell them not to do it. So you think, if they did it already, they did it already. No, even if they did it already, you still have to call them out. I want to elaborate a little bit on this, and I realize that I should have put it in the sheets, but I want to summarize this as a Dvar Torah. Something that partially I heard from my father, Rabbi Herschel Schachter, Zichrono Levracha, many, many years ago, and partially is something that I saw about 4 years ago in a Sefer by the Chidah, where he quotes a Medrash. I have not found the Medrash yet, but he quotes a Medrash. So I'm going to give you the sources in case you want to follow up on the sources on your own. But now I'm looking at you and you're looking at me, and I'm going to share this thought with you. The Gemara says in Maseches Sota, it's a well-known Gemara. It's on Daf Yud Aleph Amid Aleph, 11a. There were three people sitting with Paro when Paro was deliberating what to do with the Jewish people. There were three people in the inner cabinet that he was consulting. Shlosha hayu ba'osa etza. Bilam, Iov, v'Yisro. Says the Gemara, Bilam sheyo'atz neherag. Bilam said, go for it. You want to destroy the Jews? You want to have them be slaves? You want to work them very hard? So he was in favor of Paro's behavior. So he was punished. Iov sheshasak. Iov was silent. Nidon be Yisurin. So he had Nebuch Yisurin. It was terrible. He wasn't Neherag, he wasn't killed, but he suffered. Yisro Sheborach, Yisro, who made a macha and said, I can't sit here, I'm out of here, I can't have anything to do with this. Zochu mibnei bonov, sheyeshvu belishkas hagazis. He was zoche that his eneklach had leadership roles in the Jewish people. So my father asked, Iyov Sheshasak? He didn't say anything. Why Nidon B'Yisurin? Why was Iyov Nidon B'Yisurin? And not just Yisurin. You understand very well that the paradigmatic example of horrific Yisurin is Iyov. The Yisurim of Iyov stand out as the biblical example of the most horrible, horrible Yisur. I understand Bilam Sheyad's Neherag. I understand Yisro was Zoicha. He was out of here. He's done. He can't have anything to do with this. He has Vayla Kindalach and Enoklach. But he was just sitting there. For that you get Yisur. So I found a medrash quoted in the Sefer by the Chidah that says the following. It's a pasuk in Iyov that says, "Af lezos yecharad libi," that because of this my heart trembles. Because of this, I really feel frightened. Says the Medrash, "Kiven shera'a Iyov misas shnei bnei Aaron, Omar af lezos yecharad libi." Iyov got the answer to his question. Why am I suffering so much? I was only quiet when he saw what happened with Shnei B'nai Aaron. What does Shnei B'nai Aaron have to do with the story of Iyov? Why were the Shnei B'nai Aaron killed? Nadav and Avihu, why were they killed? So the Pasuk says, because they brought an Esh Zara. For some reason, Chazal, Rishonim, biblical exegetes, pile on Averis that Nadav and Avihu did that were goreim the fact that they were killed. And they're not always easily identifiable with the Esh Zara, with a strange fire. So for example, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, it's a Gemara Mefureshes on Daf Nun Beis Amid Aleph. Ukvar haya Moshe v'Aaron mahalchin baderach. Moshe and Aaron were taking a walk. The Nadav and Avihu mahalchin achareya. Nadav and Avihu are following them. So Nadav and Avihu, the sons of Aaron, and the nephews of Moshe. Moshe and Aaron, two brothers, are walking, and the nephews and the sons are walking behind them. V'chol Yisrael achareim, and all the Jews are following. All the Jews are following. Amar lo Nadav la'Avihu. Listen to this, Gemara. Ema sayo musu shnei zekenim halolu. You know where they were killed? Because Nadav says to Avihu, they're walking behind Moshe and Aaron. All the Jews are behind them. They look around, they see a whole Klal Yisrael. You know what? We want to be the leaders of Klal Yisrael. One of these two old guys, you hear such a lashon on behalf of children and nephews? Mosei Yamusu Shnei Zekenim Alolu, when are these two altichkis going to die? And then you and me, we're going to take over. That's how you talk? This is the language that you use? No, not acceptable. And therefore, they were killed. Iyov looks at this and says, now I understand. What does Iyov understand? Amar le Nadav le Avihu. What did Avihu do? What did Avihu do? Nadav says to Avihu, what's going to happen, these Tzvei Altichkis? When are they going to die already and we're going to take over? So Nadav should be punished. Nadav is the Mechutzev. Nadav is the Eisvarv. Nadav is the one who doesn't have Derech Eretz for his father and for his uncle, for Aaron and Moshe. Amar le Nadav la Avihu, what do you want from Avihu? He didn't do anything. Oh, says Eov, now I understand. When you don't do anything, you're culpable. Eov sheshasak, nidon biyisuri. He was only shasak, what do you want from him? That's exactly the problem. If you're shosek, nidon biyisuri. In the case over here, if Nadav says to Avihu, and Avihu is still, doesn't say anything, then he has a challenge. He's got a problem. That's why the Medrash says that Eov understood al zos yecharad libi when he saw what happened. You understand how ahistorical this is, you know. Not sure exactly when Eov lived, but obviously, according to this, Eov was able to witness this exchange. Avihu says nothing, and Avihu gets punished, and Avihu is responsible. And this brings us back to our Gemara. The Gemara says, "I call Yisrael Areivim Zebozet," and we have a halacha of arvus. We have a halacha of being responsible to one another, but it is contingent upon the notion of giving rebuke. And I want to leave you with this Rambam. The language of the Rambam is just amazing. It's like he's talking to us. It's like he's talking to American society. Unbelievable. Al Yomer Adam Ani Lo Echta. Okay. So the first context of Arvus is in the context of responsibility for sin. Now let's take a look at a second context of Arvus, and that is a responsibility to make sure that you do mitzvos. Not that to bawl you out in case you're doing something wrong, but your mitzvah life matters to me. What you do or don't do matters to me. I am connected to you. Listen to the Gemara in Maseches Rosh Hashanah at the bottom of page 2. Tani avad bereder abzera. Kol abrachos kulan. Afal pishe yotza motzi. If I was mekayim a mitzvah, and now I want to do the mitzvah for you, so I could do the mitzvah again, even though I'm no longer obligated in this mitzvah because I already fulfilled my obligation, but I could do it for you. So I could make a bracha for you on this mitzvah, even though I already fulfilled the mitzvah. So I'm done. I did what I had to do. Afal pishe yotza, I was yotze, still I could be motzi you. Then the Gemara gives a number of exceptions. What's the principle of kol habrachos kulan? Afal pishe yotza motzi, look at Rashi, on the top right of the bottom of page 2. Afal pishe yotza motzi, shaharei kol Yisrael, areivim zeboze lemitzvos. Here's our principle. What does it mean, kol Yisrael areivim zeba zeba mitzvos? That I am connected to you. I am responsible for you. Just like an arev, a cosigner, is responsible to cover the loan in case I default. So I am responsible for your level of mitzvah observance. And even though I did it, I'm responsible for you. And so therefore I can do it again and fulfill your obligation via my behavior. Now, for a long time, I understood this as follows. What does it mean, kol Yisrael areivim zeba zeh, I'm responsible for you? That means that I took care of myself. I was yotze. But I have an additional obligation to make sure that you're also yotze. And so, therefore, I can discharge for you, even though I already took care of myself. Turn to the top of page 3. There is a mind-boggling run on this Gemara. Rabbeinu Nissim, medieval Spanish commentator on the Rif, Zokt Tehillega Rabbeinu Nissim, and my eyes bulged out when I saw this rhyme. Once again, what's the simple interpretation, or at least what I assumed was the pshat? Afa pishe yotza motzi. I'm good. God, listen. In the sky, J.J. Schachter was mekayim the mitzvah of Megillah. So you, or Schaefer, you put a check next to his name. He's good. But now J.J. has to worry about another Jew. So he can do it again for another Jew. But he's okay. He did it already. Look at the Ran. Look at the Ran in his parish on the Rif. The Rif quotes this Gemara, Tana Ava Bereda Rab Zera, in the top of page 3. Kol HaBrachos Kula Nafa Pisha Yotza Motzi. Zokteran, listen to this, where it's underlined, the end of the second line at the top. Sheharei Kol Yisrael Arevim Ze La Ze B'mitzvos. Because we're all responsible for one another. Okay, so far so good. Now listen. B'kivin shelo yotza chavero, k'mi shelo yotza hu dami. If my friend didn't do it, then I am nowhere. It's not like I thought for my whole life that I'm good, I'm done, I got it, I'm okay, but I have an additional obligation to make sure that you get it. No. If you didn't do it, it's like I didn't do it at all. So therefore, I'm doing it now, as it were, for the first time. This is very scary. It's very scary. It's so far-reaching that if I don't make sure, and I don't even know, Lemaisa, how this has to express itself, do I have to make sure that everybody in Teaneck and Bergenfield sits in a sukkah, and if not, it's as if I didn't sit in a sukkah? Or I'm mekayim my mitzvah of sukkah, but it would be nice to invite people in that they should also be mekayim the mitzvah of sukkah. That's not what the Ran says. The Ran says, v'kivin shelo yotza chavero, k'mi shelo yotza huda. And I saw this evening as I was preparing and chazering over for my shir this evening. So I looked up the Rambam in Hilchas Brachas. And the Rabbeinu Manoach, in his commentary on the Rambam at the first parak of Hilchas Brachas, says the same thing. I had never seen this before until this evening. The kivin sheheim chova, if there's an obligation, yachol chavero lahotzi mechovaso, I can be motzi you through my behavior. The Chol Yisrael Arevim Zebozeh, all Jews are responsible for one another. Uchaman Delo Nafik Dami. Rabbeinu Manoach uses the same formulation of the Ran. Keman Delo Nafak. It's as if I didn't fulfill my obligation. So this, my friends, is very powerful. And another Jew's behavior matters to me. And it doesn't just matter to me because it's like a sweet thing. It's like a sweet thing. It's nice. But there are, it's legal. It's legal. There are consequences. So the first context of Kol Yisrael Arevim is in the notion of a bearing responsibility for the sins of others and assuming some of that einish. The second is your Jewish life matters to me. Either, as I always thought, I have an additional obligation, or as the Ran and now Rabbeinu Manoach are teaching me, it's part of my obligation. I'm nowhere. I did not sit in the sukkah if you did not sit in the sukkah. Once again, I don't know what this means, Lemaisa. I don't know what this means, but what it is, what it does mean, is that it's a machayev for us to really care deeply about the religious behavior of other Jews, matters to us. I want to move on to an ancillary issue, and that is the question about the role of women in Arvus, Noshim Ba'Arvus. And this is the subject of the debate I mentioned earlier in the Achronim. And I want to just briefly lay out the issue. I gave you all of the sources here. So should this be of interest to you, you could go back and drill down into the Makoros. The issue is as follows. The Gemara says at the bottom of page 3, the Gemara wonders whether women are obligated in Birchas HaMazon, Midoraisa or Midorabana. That's the Gemara's question. So we know that there's a mitzvah to bench. V'yachalta v'savata v'rechta s'ashem alokech alaretz hatov v'ashem nasan loch. So we know there's a mitzvah of Birchas HaMazon. So are women obligated biblically in Birchas HaMazon, or is their obligation a rabbinic one and not a biblical one? Rashi here talks out the Shnei Tzadim. What are the issues? Says Rashi on the left side of page 3. Do we say it's the Oraisa because it's not a mitzvah saseh she'azman grama? We know the principle is that if the mitzvah is contingent upon a particular time, then women are not obligated. But whenever you eat, and whenever you eat kedei sevia, well, let's say when you wash and you have a piece of bread, whenever that is, you're obligated to bench. So it's not, it's like a day thing or a night thing or a Shabbos thing or a Yom Tov thing. It's not at all contingent upon a specific time. And therefore, women should be obligated mid oraisa. Or, continues Rashi, what's the end of the pasuk? And women do not have a chelek, direct chelek in Eretz Yisrael. That's the whole issue with the Benos Tzlavchad. The women themselves are not given a direct chelek. And since the rest of the pasuk, the second half of the pasuk, says, so maybe women are not obligated in bench. And the Gemara continues to try to bring back and forth. L'may nafkamina, what's the difference, whether she's obligated midda or raisa or midda rabbanon? The question is, can she be motzi a man in benching? Let's say she has a meal with a man. So can she bench out loud and fulfill the obligation for the man? The man's obligation is biblical. If her obligation is biblical, so she can fulfill the obligation. But if it's derabanan, then a derabanan cannot fulfill the obligation for a d'oraisa. You can only fulfill the obligation for someone if you have the same level of obligation. If you have less of a level of obligation, if it's derabanan instead of d'oraisa, so he's d'oraisa, she's derabanan, she cannot fulfill the obligation for him. That's the nafkamina, says the Gemara. And turns out that it's not decided in the Gemara. The Gemara leaves us with what is known in rabbinic terminology as an abaya de leifshita. An abaya de leifshita means maybe it's like this, maybe it's like this. End of discussion, the Gemara goes on without having resolved fully the answer to this question. So the Rush says, the Rush paskins lahalacha, we're now on page 4. Since we don't know, bottom right of page 4, the lo ifshita haba'aya, underlined 4 lines from the bottom right of page 4, since this has not been resolved, so I actually don't know, I'm really not sure. So therefore, better, hilkach nashem einan motzias esachem yedei chavas. So when in doubt, the woman should not fulfill the obligation for the man, because she's the rabbanon, and he's d'oraisa. The Rush asks from a Gemara in Masachas Brachos at the top of page 4. The Gemara says, and it's 5 lines from the bottom. I realize I did not underline it. I apologize. 5 lines from the bottom, the line beginning Ben Shetach. Halfway down, Dahachi Amar Rab Chia Bar Abba, Amar Rab Yochanan, La'olam Eino Motzi Es Harabin Yedei Chovasan Ache Yochal Kazayis Doga. We're talking here about benching. So if somebody has a kazayis dogon, if somebody has an amount of an olive size, whatever that means, of grain, of bread, so then you could be motzi someone else. Problem is that a kazayis dogon is an obligation only the rabbana, because it's v'achalta v'savata uveirachta. In order to fulfill the obligated to oraisa, you need to have more. So the Rush asks, we see from here that a derabanan could be motzi a d'oraisa. So why do we paskin in the case of a woman? Why does the Gemara say that if a woman is only obligated midrabanan, she could not fulfill the obligation for a man whose obligation is d'oraisa? We see from here that a derabanan, here it's the issue of an amount, derabanan, my obligation is only derabanan for a kazayas. How can I fulfill the obligation for someone else who is a d'oraisa? Yesh Lomar answers the Rush. The lo dami, that there's no comparison between these two cases. I'm in the third line on the bottom left side of page 4. The whole bottom of page 4 is from the Rush in Brachas Tavchaf Amidez. And this is what the Rush says. There is no comparison between the case of a woman and benching. If she's obligated to Rabbanan, she cannot fulfill for a man who's obligated to Oraisa. That's different in the case of benching when a man has only a shear derabanan, he can be motzi, someone who has a shear d'oraisa. What's the difference? V'yesh lomar d'lo dami. The ish, because in the case of a man, afagav shelo ochal klum din hu sheyiftar es acher. The truth of the matter is, b'chol Yisrael ha-revim zeh bozeh. Even if I don't eat, but if I'm responsible that you need to bench after you ate, so me'ikar adin, technically speaking, I should be able to bench for you even if I did not eat, because the responsibility that I have to make sure that you bench should be enough to allow me to make the bracha of benching for you. Ela vas, nevertheless, midrabanan amru, shelo yivarchu birchas hanenin belo hana'a, that you have to have hana, you have to eat something. And so when you have to help somebody with benching, you also have to eat something. Lefichach, kishachal kazayis, afal pisha eno nitzchaya vela midirabonon, motzi esacherim shachlu kadei sviya. So it's good enough. The rabbis say that you have to taste something. Okay, so I tasted something. But I'm motzi you bidin arvus, because really, I shouldn't have to taste anything, because I'm responsible for you. I have to worry about you. If you eat, I have to make sure you bench. You don't know how to bench, so I'll bench for you. That alone should be sufficient. I have to eat something. Okay, so I eat something. Okay, but I could still bench for you. But avo, however, in the case of, continue. She'orev hu ba'avura. Because here this is crucial, because I'm responsible for you. V'olav hu lahatzilon min ha'oven. What does it mean I'm responsible for you? I have to make sure that you do the right thing. V'lifter osan min ha'mitzvos. I have to worry about your mitzvah observance. Avol isha eina bechlal ha'arvos. But a woman is not bechlal arvos. L'chein eina motzia elamisha chiyuvo midrabana. A woman is not bechlal arva, she's not in the parsha of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebazeh. And therefore, if her obligation is the Rabbanan, she cannot fulfill someone's obligation who is the Oraisa. She can only fulfill someone who has an equal obligation. Why can a man fulfill, a Rabbanan man, fulfill an obligation for a Oraisa man? Because it's a din in arvus, because we care about one another. We are responsible for one another. I'm running out of time, so I don't want to work through in detail. If you look at the top of page 5, the question here is about Kiddush on Friday night. The question here is about Kiddush on Friday night. And it's actually a very intriguing question. Because we are told, it's a Magen Avraham and others, that when a man goes to shul on Friday night and says Vayechulu in Ma'ariv, they have already fulfilled their obligation for Kiddush. So when they come home, their obligation now, biblically, has already been fulfilled. They come home, And they say Good Shabbos, everybody, and they sing Shalom Aleichem, and they're ready to make Kiddush. But sitting at the table is the wife, and their wife is biblically obligated. Even though, famous example, even though Kiddush is a mitzvah saseisha asman groma, women are obligated, like men, in Kiddush on Friday night. Kol sheyeshno b'shmira, yeshno b'zechira. That's the previous Gemara in Brachas Tav Chaf Amid Beis. Women are obligated. So her obligation is biblical, his obligation is only rabbinic. And yet he makes Kiddush for her. The biblical can be fulfilled by someone who has a rabbinic obligation. And then the question is, well, can he fulfill it for her if she's not bechlal arvos? What does it mean when the Rosh says that she's not bechlal arvos? Does it mean that she's at all not in the parsha of arvos, and therefore you can't fulfill for her? How can I fulfill it for her? The only way it could work, it's not an equal obligation, it's a horizontal, it's not a horizontal either, it's a diagonal obligation. The only way that works is Betoras Arvas. Well, maybe she's not Betoras Arvas. Or do we say that she can be Betoras Arvas where she's obligated? In the case of benching, if she's not obligated Mida Oraisa, so there's no obligation at all in the case of benching. But in the case of Kiddush, she is obligated. And so therefore she could certainly be on the receiving end to be yotzeid by her husband, even though he is the Rabbanan, because he already said Vayechulu in Shul, and she is an obligation Mida Oraisa. That's the machlokes between the Dogel Meruvava and Rabbi Akiva Eger at the top of page 5. The Dogel Meruvava was written by Rabbi Cheska Landau, by the author of the, well known as the author of the Noda Yehuda, and he wrote a commentary on the Shulchan Aruch. I actually, subsequently to my preparing this sheet, to this handout, I found there's a whole sefer printed separately, a Dogel Meruvava printed in Prague in 1794. And I regret that I didn't have it when I put together this, because the type is much, much larger. So the question is, what do we mean when we talk about arvas for a woman? And I think it's clear. I think Rabbi Kiveger is right that where a woman is obligated, like in Kiddush, obviously there's no difference. His language is very, very explicitly. The ein chiluklal bein ish leisha leinyan arvos. That's the third full paragraph on the top left of page 5. Then there's a lot more to talk about in terms of the technical obligation of arvos. So let me summarize so far, and then I want to conclude. Number one, the issue about v'choshlu ish ba'achiv, ish ba'avon achiv, that we're responsible, and we even get punished. There's an onesh for the sin of someone else. There's an onesh we get for the sin of someone else if, says the Gemara, both in Sanhedrin and Shavuos, if we could have done something about it, if we could make a macha. And I talked a little bit about the macha, the power of not standing by, that incredible Rambam. Don't say it's none of your business, because it is. Because if you say it's none of your business, that's neged HaTorah. And then the story about Eov and Shnei B'nai Aaron, the importance of speaking up, that being shosek is a problem. Second example of arvos was in the notion of I'm responsible to make sure you do mitzvos. And here we saw a shocking Rambam in the first case. Here we have a shocking Ran. And again, I'm flabbergasted by this Ran, that it's not just as if I'm okay, but I also have an additional obligation to make sure you're okay. But if you're not okay, I'm not okay. And then the issue about how this plays itself out in the context of women. I want to conclude with, let's say, two sources about the importance of caring about other Jews. And I think that this is an important message for us in our community. We live in our community Baruch Hashem, in a very strongly observant community. Thanks to our distinguished rabbinic leadership, thanks to our lay leadership, thanks to the rank and file of all of our shuls and our communities. It's extraordinary. You walk up and down the streets, you see how many sukkahs are outside. We live in an amazing community. And that's great, but that's a problem. In the days when I used to travel, I would go for Shabbosim to be a scholar in residence in different shuls. And inevitably, somewhere in my sermon, inevitably I would say the following. I would say something like this. I don't really know too much about your community. All across the United States. I'm parachuting in. I live in New Jersey. I don't know what's going on in your particular community, whatever it is. But it was fascinating. I walked into a shul this morning and I saw the Pnei Yeshua in the library. And I saw the Masifta Shas, and I saw the Machon Yerushalayim Minchas Chinuch, and I saw the Mosad Rav Kook Ritva. But I don't know, but I didn't see a yarmulke box. I was in the lobby. I didn't see a yarmulke box in the lobby. And then I was looking, and I didn't see a doily box. I don't know how many of you know what a doily is. In my youth, a doily was this little shmatala that the women would put on their head and stick a bobby pin in, of mirgazuk. They'd stick a bobby pin in, and they would want to walk into shul. That's a shtika lezecher of a hair covering. And in my father's shul in the Bronx, 60 years ago, they had a doily box, and they had a yarmulke box. Inevitably, I see the Ritva, and I see the Menachas Chinuch, and I see the Pnei Yoshua, and I see the Masifta Shas. I didn't see a doily box. I said, I know nothing about your community, but I will tell you that within a mile radius of this building, there are 1,000 Jews who are not in shul today. There are 1,000 Jews within a mile of this place, this bima that I'm talking from, that are not in shul today. As a matter of fact, they're not in any shul today, nowhere. And what are we doing for them? I mean, it's really very sweet that you have all these sfarim, and it's incredibly sweet that Baruch Hashem, Shachiyonu v'kiyamonu v'giyonu, that we have a strong community. But what are we doing for others? What are we doing for the people of... There's not even a half a minute they're going to walk into our shul. That's why we don't have a yarmulke box or a doily box. And we have an achrayas. We have an achrayas for them. And that's how I want to understand Kol Yisrael Arevim. I already made the case halachically that we have an achrayas for them. We have to worry about their shmiras ha-mitzvos. What are we doing? We call it, there's a word for it, kiruv or outreach. They're outreach professionals. They get paid. They're kiruv guys. They kiruv very nice. You make a donation. But what are we doing? What are we doing? And I want to frame this in the context of the Yom Tov of Sukkot, the bottom of page 5. When I was in pre-K, actually I was never in pre-K, but Lu Yitzuyer, I had been in pre-K, and maybe you were in pre-K. So your Moris said to you, what do the Arba Minim remind you of? Okay, so scratch your head, go back to third grade. What do the Arba Minim, what's the symbolism of the Arba Minim? So if we had a time to give a give and take, so you would say the different parts of the body. And we bring them all together, that the different parts of the body serve God, that they're all one in terms of the service of God. The lips and the eyes and the heart and the spine. And then there's another symbolism that you all know, and that's the Medrash at the bottom of page 5. Talking about different kinds of Jews. There's an Esrog Jew and a Lulav Jew. Some have taste and some have smell. Some have Torah and some have Maisim Tovim. Some have Maisim Tovim and not Torah. Some have Torah and not Maisim Tovim. Some have both Torah and Maisim Tovim. And then we come to the Arava Jew. What's the Arava? You kick on the Arava, never says shmek gunish, nothing. It doesn't smell like anything. It doesn't look like anything. Lu Yitzuri, it fell into my mouth. I'd spit it out. It doesn't taste like anything. Nebuch, the Aravas, nothing. Arve Nachal, Elu Yisrael. I'm now a little more than halfway down at the bottom of page 5. So what more, you should, you know, your parents paid good tuition because the teacher didn't make it up. It's a medrash. Mo Arava Zu, Ein Bo Tam, Ve'ein Bo Reach, a gunish can tam and a gunish can reach. Doesn't taste like anything, doesn't smell like anything. Kachem Yisrael, Yesh Bahem B'nei Adam. She'ein b'hem lo Torah v'lo ma'asim tovim. Yes, such a thing. Can you imagine? There's a Jew that has no Torah and no ma'asim tovim. Can you imagine such a Jew? Okay, I understand a Jew that doesn't have Torah. So he was absent the day they learned the ketzos. Okay, he doesn't have Torah. All right. No ma'asim tovim, nothing, zero. No tam and no reach. Uma HaKadosh Baruch Hu osa lahem. Take out a red pen. Uma, what does God do to these Jews who have nothing? Nothing, gunish, nothing. La abdon e efshar. To lose them, that's impossible. That doesn't begin to be an option. You know what? Forget about them. Forget about them. That gunish. Forget about what am I wasting my time with? La'abdon e'efshar. It's not an option. You can't forget about them. You can't lose them. Elamar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yukshiru kulam aguda achas. You have to tie them all together. The arava is central in the arba minim. What happens if I don't have an arava? Two aravos in my arba minim. What happens? You think I'm mekayim 3/4 of the mitzvah? I have 3/4 of the minim, so I get a 3/4 of a check in my book in the sky. No, if there's no aravas, I have nothing. The aravas are essential; they're absolutely indispensable. This cry of the medrash, I want to leave you with la'abdon e efsher, because the medrash here is bavarning. Something that you and I would think. A Jew who has no Torah and no Ma'asim Tovim. You know what? Don't waste your time. Says the Medrash. That's unacceptable. La'abdan. E'efshar. You have to tie them together. You got to hug them. You have to bring them in. You have to do whatever you can. And so maybe we need to make this ishtikala more of a priority in our community and in our neighborhood. I'm telling you that there are 1,000 Jews in Bergenfield and in Teaneck who are not in shul at all, never. And maybe we need to try to think about doing something for them. And it doesn't have to be dramatic. You know, we all know neighbors who are not observant. We all have business associates. We have people in our office who are not observant. Invite them to come. You'll ask the Rav what to do about Shabbos. You invite them to come for the whole Shabbos. So they don't come for the whole Shabbos. You figure out a way. When did they ever see a Friday night? When did they ever hear Zmiris? You invite them to your sukkah during Chol HaMoed. I mean, it needs to be a priority. Kol Yisrael, a raven zebazeh. And I want to conclude with something I also heard from my father, Zichrono Levracha. What is Kol Yisrael Arevim? Until now, we've been talking about some kind of a juridical connection or obligation or relationship, like an Arev Milashon co-sider. So my father said to me, you know, JJ, you know what it really means? But the Rebbe Amol Getaych, Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebozeh Milashon, Hashmi'ini Es Kolech, Ki Kolech Arev. What does Ayin Reish Beis mean in the Pasuk Hashmi'ini Es Kolech, Ki Kolech Arev? It means sweet. What does Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebozeh mean? It means that all Jews should be sweet to one another. This is not legal. This is not juridical. This is not technical. This is emotional. Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh Bazeh. Ki Kol Echarev, we should be sweet to one another. And this has nothing to do with Kiruv. This has to do with our own, within our community, interpersonal relationships. The sweetness. With one another, with you and me, our neighbors, the people we come to shul with, halavai, we should be zeicher to come back. People we daven with, together with in the backyard. To be sweet, to walk in and be sweet with a smile. Kod Yisrael Arevim Zeh Bazeh. So we have the issue of v'chosh luish ba'achiv dinin of macho'a. We have afal pisha yotza motzi. We have the power and the obligation of making a macho'a. We have the issue about arvas by women. We have the obligation to care about the religious life of a Jew who is not zoche, who didn't have the benefit of a Torah education that we had. And we have an obligation to be sweet. To be sweet. Just be nice. Just be nice. You have something to say? Be nice. Say it nicely. Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh Bazeh Ki Kol Echarev. Once again, I want to thank Rabbi Ross and whoever else is part of this Chabura for inviting me to come. It's always a pleasure and very meaningful for me to spend Leil Hashanah Rabbah with you. I want to thank Rabbi Neuberger very much for the gracious, very gracious introduction and for your leadership. And I want to wish all of you a good Mayid and a good Yor and a good Ner of Yom Tiv and a good Yom Tiv and a Gemar Chesima Toiva for us in the sweetness of the honey of Rosh Hashanah to carry over through the whole year. I wish all of you a good night.
Thank you again, Rabbi Dr. Schaffner, for your words, for your Torah, for your inspiration, and for your message. And again, thank you to everyone for joining us this evening. And I'll echo Rabbi Dr. Schaffner's wishes to everyone for a good Yor, for a good Yontiv, good Shabbos. And thank you again.
Thank you. Thanks so much, Rabbi Ross. Be well. Good night. Thank you, Rabbi Neuberger. Thank you. Hello, Mrs. Neuberger. Thank you. Nice to see you.
Thank you.
Nice to see you.
Thank you.